The lesson this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through the end of the chapter. And this entire chapter has to do with false prophets. That's what it's talking about. This is a verse-by-verse study. I'm not picking my topic. I'd much rather preach on the cross. I'd much rather preach to you the grace of God. But this is a verse-by-verse study that we're doing in this entire chapter here in 2 Peter deals with false prophets. It tells us their location. They're among us. And it tells us that they are. I think folks like to deny that and think of false prophets as something that the church was plagued with in ancient days, but we're not bothered with it anymore. That's not so. Peter tells us at the beginning of the chapter, false prophets shall be among you. And it also tells us about their ministry and the danger they present to the souls of them who will give them their ears. Now, you might choose to deny the existence of these men. This is how the world deals with it. They just ignore it. They just deny it. They just say, well, you're crazy. You're crazy. A few weeks ago, I was preaching, and we had a visitor came in and sat down in the back. And she sat there till about a third of the way through the message. And when I started dealing with this thing of false prophets, she looked at me like I was a rattlesnake, and she went out the door. And that's what most men, they just are not going to hear it. They're not going to receive it. They don't know where you're coming from when you talk about it. And you can deny the existence of these men. And this is how the world deals with them. They believe that any church with a cross attached to it is preaching the gospel. Any church with stained glass windows who call themselves a church are doing somewhat the work of God. That's how this world deals with these things. They believe that any church where they use the name Jesus or God or Spirit is of God. And to the world, a false prophet is a Jim Jones. It's a Father Divine. It's a Sun Young Moon. It's one of these men. They're false prophets, but these people out here are not false prophets. You might choose to believe that such men pose no threat. Most people believe that. Well, at least they're going to church. They might not be going to a really good church, but at least they're going to church. That's what I hear people say, as though that was better than nothing. It's not. It's not. Well, you say they seem to want peace. They cry peace, peace. The Scripture said they would. But they cry peace, peace, where there is no peace. They seem to be logical. What they say appeals to the natural reasoning of men. Reasonable that a man ought to have a free will, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that reasonable? That seems reasonable. Did to me at one time. They seem to love people. They visit the hospitals, the nursing homes, and the jails. They don't seem to pose a threat to anybody. You might choose to believe that these men pose no threat. Or you might reach a compromise because of their relationship to you or to your immediate family. You might say, well, that man out there that I don't know, he's a false prophet, but the same man over here preaching the same thing because he's your brother-in-law, you look at him a little different. Huh? That's just the way it is. I'm telling you exactly the way it is. You may just reach a compromise. And if these things were not so, these men could never get their foot in the door. They could never get a hearing by anybody who ever read the Bible. And this is what these verses that we're considering this morning are teaching. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These, and he's already described whose these are. They're the false prophets who bring in damnable heresies and destroy men's souls. He's already told us who these are, these false prophets. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. I'm going to tell you something. One of the most sobering facts that I ever had to deal with in my Christian life was the fact that almost all of what we call religion in this world is antichrist. It's antichrist in its doctrine. It's antichrist in its character. And it's especially antichrist in its effects upon men. Well, preacher, you saying that that you're at odds with these people? You're saying that you don't agree with these people? That you're at odds with these people? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And what's more, history since the days of Christ have always seen the church and recorded the church at odds with this world's religion. All you have to do is read the Bible. The Jewish religion was already established, been established for 6,000 years. It was accepted. Even the Romans, even those vile Romans who took them over and the Jews were in captivity to them, they still respected their religion and let them carry on their religion. They were accepted. It was established. Everybody knew that until Christ came. Till John the Baptist called them vipers. In John 15:18, our Lord said to his disciples, "You know that the world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." There are antichrist churches in the world. That's a sobering fact. I've heard men talk about him. Well, you know, he believes a few things. So does the devil. I don't make him a Christian. So did Demas. I didn't make him a Christian. So did Alexander the coppersmith, who made those images for religious people, made those crosses and rings and earrings and all that kind of stuff. There's antichrist churches in this world because the prince of darkness, the prince of this ungodly world, has transformed natural men into ministers of righteousness. That's what they are. They're out here preaching righteousness, but they're not preaching God's righteousness in Christ, imputed righteousness by faith. They're preaching self-righteousness. They're telling people that if they'll do the best they can, God will accept them. That's a lie. That's antichrist. Paul said, if righteousness come by the law, if it comes by your obedience to the law, if you can gain favor with God by your obedience to the law, then Christ died in vain. There's no need for him to come. No need for him to die. They spread these venomous lies throughout the world. And if you need to see that in the Scripture, you can read it in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Paul warned Timothy. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and turn their ears to fables. Catchy little sayings. Fables. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That kind of thing. And nobody's immune to their presence and their effect on them that hear them. But how can these spiritual vipers, that's what John the Baptist called, how can these spiritual vipers gain a hearing? Because they don't appear as vipers. They appear as whales. Isn't that what Peter's telling us? They're whales. They're whales. False prophets appear as wells of water to thirsty souls. A man gets in trouble. Some kind of trouble. Drugs, alcohol, divorce, sickness, disease, catastrophe, whatever it is. He gets in trouble. He begins to look for help and he looks around and he finds, here's a church. Looks like a godly church. It's got crosses on the front of it, crosses on the steeple. Says Baptist on the sign. Look back in the Scripture, man, from John the Baptist all the way down, Baptist has historically stood for the truth. Surely these people are sent of God. Parking lots full of cars, people go there. People evidently approve of what's being preached there, so I'll go there and find help for my soul. Looks like a well to me. And I'm thirsty. But when I go inside, a truly thirsty sinner finds no water at that well. Huh? He can't find any of that water that our Lord told that woman at the well that day. If you'd have asked, if you knew who I was, I wouldn't be asking you for a drink, you'd be asking me. And I give you water that'd be a what? A well of water springing up within you. They're wells without water. Sometimes men at great expense travel long distances. They go inside only to go away disappointed and unsatisfied. And then he tells us this about these false prophets. They're wells without water and they're clouds blown about by tempest. Now, tempest is not a thunderstorm. A tempest is a strong wind. That's what he's talking about here. A strong wind blows these men. They're blown about by every wind of doctrine. Just blown about. They have no certain place they need to be. They're just blown about. They go here and they go there. And they promise refreshing rain. And they carry all the signs. But when they come, they're all show and no shower. Got nothing to say to pitiful, helpless sinners. They promise relief from a life of drought, but when they come, they offer no more than just temporary shade. That's what these clouds blown about, that's what they do. They come over and give you a little shade and then they're gone. And of these men, the Holy Ghost writes, he says here in this verse, the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Who's it reserved for? False prophets. False prophets. The mist of darkness speaks to me of a spiritual fog in the night. I remember, oh, this has been years ago, probably 35, 40 years ago, Kathy's mother, her father was a railroader, so he got tickets and things free. And she had a train ticket from northern Ohio all the way down. We lived in Louisiana at the time. But the railroad that he had the ticket for came over in Mississippi. And I had to pick her up at night. And we got caught in one of them winter Delta fogs after dark. I couldn't see the front end of my car. We drove around and it's so thick that you had to have your wipers on. That's what he's talking about here, the mist of darkness. He's talking about a fog after dark that cuts off all vision. You don't know where you are. And I was looking for a place that I'd never been. That's what thirsty sinners are hunting for, somewhere they've never been. And these men are lost in a dark fog, and they're never coming out of it. It's reserved for them forever. Natural men are by nature in a dark fog. They're called blind, leaders of the blind. And being reprobate, they're cursed forever to wander in this mist of darkness. And I think you could say that about most of these false prophets. They're reprobates that God's given over to believe. They've given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie. They believe it. They believe what they preach. They're described in the scriptures in the book of Jude as trees whose fruit withereth. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their impurities. And shooting stars that blaze up in a light of glory for about 2 seconds. And then they're gone forever. They disappear into the blackness of darkness forever. All right, 2 Peter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Now this verse speaks of the means and motives of false prophets. They speak great swelling words of vanity. What's that? Something good is going to happen to you today. Huh? That's vanity. Great swelling all. What would you rather hear than that? Something good is going to happen. The Lord's going to bless you today, Luke. You're going to, if you give to Him like you need to, He's going to bless you. He's going to give you twice what you give Him. Great swelling words of vanity. I guess every third car I used to see had a little bumper sticker on it that said, smile. God loves you. God's done all He can do. It's all up to you. Huh? Oh, preacher, I'm in trouble. Well, don't worry. God's not willing that any should perish. Great swelling words of vanity. You're the master of your own destiny. Old Ralph Barnard stood up one time at a Southern Baptist convention and he said the two biggest lies that's ever been told, God loves you and Christ died for you. And he said they gasped when he said that. That whole crowd gasped when he said that, and he went on to tell them what he meant. Great swelling words of vanity. Now watch this. These great swelling words of vanity allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit does not work in the ministry of false prophets. Man starts telling you about his conversion and he starts talking to you about being converted in an Arminian church, that man's a liar. I know he believes what he's saying, but that don't make it so. The Holy Spirit does not work in the ministry of false prophets. He works in conjunction with His Word and the preaching of the gospel. False prophets work and they walk according to the prince of the power of the air and according to the course of this world. And this walk, which is according to those two things, this walk is in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. When Paul was converted, he said he renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He quit walking in craftiness, and he stopped handling the Word of God deceitfully. False religion is geared to minister to the flesh, not our bodies, but our fallen natures. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about your body, although that gets included in it. But he's talking about this old nature. Health, wealth, success, recognition, reputation, pride, love of self. Oh, how they preach on these things. It's geared to appear to the eyes, to the nose, and to the ears of natural men. Walk in them places and they got a incense or something they burn in there. I don't know if it's scented candles or what it is, but it has a smell. It's appealing. And you look around at the architecture and all the things that they've done and these statues and angels and all of these things around, and it appeals to the eyes, it appeals to the nose, and the ears of natural men. Preacher stands up and brags on them. Exalts the flesh. Promotes the flesh. But when God's people worship, listen to this, it's in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. Well, you mean you can't worship without spirit and truth? That's exactly what I mean. It's not worship. I don't know what you're doing. You're having a hold down or something. I see people doing this all the time, you know, in these churches. I see them, I don't know what this means, but they do this a lot. I see that on TV all the time. Say, we're not going to have no preaching tonight, we're just going to have music. We're going to have worship. God's people worship Him in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And I tell you this, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. You want to send joy into the heart of a true believer, you preach Christ, he'll rejoice. He'll rejoice. You might stand up here and stumble and bumble around for an hour, but I tell you, if you're telling him about his Savior, he's going to jump up and down with joy in his heart if he's listening. And listen to this. This true circumcision, these true children of God, they come in and they worship in spirit and truth. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now listen. Have no confidence in the flesh. These preachers stand up and brag on men. John the Baptist said it's time for the axe to be laid to the root. Whoa. Cut it off at the base. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Now watch this. Through much wantonness. What in the world does that mean? Loose living. That's what that means. Loose living. Unrestrained living. No fear of God before their eyes. They had no God to answer to except that of their own making and that of their own imagination. And what's their target? Those who had clean escaped from them that live in error. You bring in somebody and they sit here for a while. They come back several weeks, some of them months. And they listen. And they take notes. And they go home and read it in the Bible. And they acknowledge your doctrine. They say, I think you're right. I think you're teaching what the Bible's saying. I didn't know that, but that's exactly what the Bible's teaching. I went to the scriptures that you referred to, and I looked at them. That's exactly what it's teaching. They acknowledge your doctrine. Seems right to them. Seems to be according to the Word of God. And they come for a while. And then this false prophet catches their ear. He catches their ear. And boy, everything that man says appeals to them. Everything he says, oh, just pumps their heart up, puts a smile on their face. And before you know what's taking place, they're gone. There was a man named Demas. He was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. Paul acknowledged him as a fellow laborer. And I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul wouldn't acknowledge anybody who wasn't grounded and rooted in the doctrines of sovereign grace. And he acknowledged this man as his friend. But he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. John said this, talking about those in his own midst. They went out from us. But they were not of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not of us. They allure. What's that mean? That's what the harlot does to her victims. They allure through the lust of the flesh, that which it craves, that which it hungers for, that in which it joys and longs after. And they do it through much wantonness, much unconstrained speech and environment, loose talk without basis of foundation, not in subjection to God. And they do it to those who were escaped from others who live in error. They were in an environment of truth and Bible doctrine until the false prophets got their attention. I'm going to tell you something. Many a young man has lost his resolve to an alluring woman of the night. That's just a fact. And this is exactly the picture given to describe false religion and the result of their ministry. They go like an ox to the slaughter. Did you know that the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, he gives a name to this Antichrist religion? He calls it Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. That's the name given to false religion, and it's described in the book of Revelations as drawing the whole world in wonder to it, whose names were not written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. That's Revelation 17, verses 5 through 8. And their latter end is worse than the first. Religion's not a step in the right direction. It's a deadfall into which men fall and never return. 2 Peter 2:21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It had been better for you not to ever heard it than to hear it and throw it away. I don't know if you know this, but faith's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. What did Peter say they turned from? The holy commandment. Ain't that what he called it? It's not a recommendation. It's not an invitation. It's the commandment of God. And everything about this commandment radiates from the glory of a holy God. Holiness means wholeness. The wholeness of God. And everything in the character of God being in harmony through the person and work of Christ, manifested in Him, preached in Him, men are commanded to believe. To believe. God can and He will save every sinner who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes that He's able to save to the uttermost them who come unto God by Him. That salvation accomplished in Christ testifies that God is righteous and just in His salvation of sinners. God's wholeness is declared in this gospel. And he that believeth not the Son, what was manifested in him, what was preached by him, what was confirmed by him, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And again he says, after each time where the Great Commission was given, he that believeth not shall be damned. Because it's a holy commandment, it has holy consequences. As there cannot be a greater privilege given to men than to hear his gospel, even so I cannot imagine a greater crime than to reject him who is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. Verse 22, 2 Peter. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the son, the sow that was washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Salvation is that which reveals Christ in you as the only way of escape. There is no other way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There was one ark made and designed to be a vessel to preserve life from the deluge. It had one door. It says that door was first, second, and third stories in that ark. One door. No man could open that door. No man could shut that door. But God alone. God alone. Now, we did a lot of things. Man did a lot of things. Old faithful Noah, he would describe what God gave him in his heart, and his sons would go out and they'd cut down that wood and shape that wood and built that ark. But not even Noah could shut the door. God shut the door. And God opened the door. And either God's man, as Noah was, is a total religious fanatic, or he's God's ambassador to a dying world. And let me be quick to tell you what I told you at the beginning about false religion and how massive it is. And you look out here and the vast majority around you, well, surely they have to be right. They wasn't in the days of Noah. There was one man in all the earth who had the gospel. That was Noah. Why? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. May God give you the wisdom to know the difference, the ability to listen, and the will to obey. Thank you.